Dude, well, I appreciate you being on here, man.
Man,
It's
thank
been a
you.
long time coming. How have you been in tech so far, man? Like, you've been in tech for a while, actually. Like, since 2017, right? Which is, so you've been in tech for like what, 6 years?
Yeah, so the first couple of like I would the first two jobs I had, the ones I started like that early on, those were I would not consider that tech. I know my LinkedIn may make it seem like it is, but I think you may appreciate this strategy. So I didn't come from a computer science background. I had a mechanical engineering degree, and all my jobs are all mechanical engineering at that point. And I wanted to get into programming, and I didn't have time to go back to do a master's or a bachelor's. And I had to start making money to pay for rent and pay off my student loans. And I was thinking, like, how, like, what can I do? Like, I need to do something fast. I need to hustle. So, I think as any like young kid who just kind of finished college, I had to just kind of make some like fluff up the LinkedIn a little bit, put some stuff there that maybe not be the most, truthful if you compare, if you do a litmus test. But I had and it worked. I got the LinkedIn recruiters hitting me up, and yeah, like thankfully that catapulted me. But I personally say I've been in tech since like 2019. That's when I actually started programming. That's when I finished the master's, and that's when I got my first job as like a
Yeah,
software
and it's
engineer.
interesting. You got your master's in was that
Yeah.
machine learning, right? And this is before
Yep, yep.
ChatGPT
My
blew up, right? Before AI
yeah,
blew
this
up.
was way before that. This was so before that, man. This was like in the days where, man, it's so wild. Like I never get to talk about this, but thank you for bringing this
Course.
up. It's crazy. When I did my master's, GPT was not even a thing. Barely, like deep neural networks were barely a thing, like barely scratching the surface. And like back in that day, you'd have like some like TensorFlow or PyTorch version like 1.13. That was the I distinctly remember that. That's when I started using TensorFlow, and I was creating my own like neural networks and feeding my own data, doing my own cleaning data pipelines, doing all of that. And yeah, that's really what got me into like the world of ML and the world of engineering around machine learning, but so before days of GPT, man.
What was it that really pulled you into it, though, right?
Dude, so I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. Again, I had to make that career change, and I knew right away I
You weren't
wasn't
happy being
like
a
I'm
structural
not.
engineer, you mean?
I was not happy with that. I have a funny story about what made me go into software, but I was I'm like not a, I'm not a smart guy. For me to like get into, I have to like practice it. I need time. Like if you give me a lot of time and I have time to practice, like put the reps in, I'll outshine everyone. But if you need immediate results, I struggle because I don't pick it up that fast, especially the technical concepts. So I was like, okay, if I had to go back and learn all of programming, I'm gonna be screwed. There's no way. I don't have enough time, and it's just not my style. So at that time, the hottest thing popping off was ML. It was a crypto Web3 NFT stage from like a year ago. It was like ML was hot back like in 2019, 2020. Everybody wanted an ML engineer. Everybody wanted ML in their system. So I'm like, you know what? Before I knew how to even write a class in Python, I already knew how to like spin up a neural network and using HTTP/Boost. I went at it with such a different approach that I was like, I
And
just want
by
to
the way,
like nail
ChatGPT didn't
this
exist
area
back then, so
in.
you had to do this the old school way, Stack Overflow, Google,
I had
you
to do
name
this,
it.
dude. I had to. There's one resource I have. It's called.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
MachineLearningMastery.com. If you get a chance, I'll send you the link to it. This is what I learned, and it's literally like an old school style blog where a guy was just like literally typing in Python code, explaining what's doing, and that's how I learned like ML and all that
Yo,
stuff.
that's amazing, and you honestly joined the right field because, I mean, yo, there's stuff coming out right now there's a company that reached out to me that's trying to take me away from my current job, and I never heard of them, but now I can't forget them because they built something where when you use Figma, that turns things into React JavaScript, right? Jeez. Where now you don't need me to build everything. It's not going to be perfect, but it builds it out, and now your senior JavaScript senior JavaScript developer can just tweak it around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 100%. Crazy. It's scary, but also exciting, right? And so talking about this then, yo, when you join ML, right, into AI, it was called ML. Now it's called AI because AI sounds cooler. It sounds a lot cooler.
It does, yeah.
Did you expect to be where it is now?
Honestly, I had no idea that something like chat, like GPT would come out as fast as it did. When I joined ML at that time, I was really into reading academic papers at that point. And I was like reading, like I wasn't really consuming a lot of like YouTube stuff. So it was all like, what were people cooking up behind the scenes? Like the first like neural network, the first convolutional neural network, like all this different stuff. Like I was really getting into that. And I remember when these papers were dropped, like people would be like crazy, like the capabilities, people were like, oh, it's like, you know, AI's taking over. But it's such a difference when you read an academic paper to what the practical implications are. Like the impact doesn't hit you. Like you can read a dense academic paper, but oh wow, this is cool. And then you'll forget about it and you watch something on YouTube, right? Because you don't feel the practical impact. And I think when stuff like GPT started like popping off, I think that's when I started to realize, oh, like that back then kind of paved the way for this practical, like, you know, impact. And that's when I really felt like, oh, this is no joke. This is like changing the game, changing the industry, changing my job, my career, my kid's career, everything. So yeah, like at the time I was like, ah, oh, you know, like this would be a future problem. This would be like down the line.
Did not think it would be this. And imagine how much more quicker it'll be in a span of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So you got your master's, right? And a lot of companies require that, or PhD, to be quite frank, right? If not double PhD, holy. But right, to get into the ML field, what about for those who, let's say, 30s, they're in 30s, right? Or 20s, you name it, or just stuck in college, or just didn't care about college because we were and still are addicted to video games. I'm not talking about myself.
Yeah.
What do you think about self-taught machine learning engineers? Is it possible, right? There were a lot of gatekeepers for the front-end developer world before, software engineering world before ML. Right, not anymore, not as much as, not even nearly as much, but it seems like there's still gatekeeping for the ML world. Am I wrong? Is that true?
You're definitely not wrong. And I think a good distinction that I could, like, you know, explain on like a platform like yours for everyone to maybe hear is like the term ML engineer is still kind of in a muddy water because there used to be a world where the ML engineer would do literally everything, which would be like create the model and deploy it into a system in like high traffic and get the results from the model to do, you know, the following downstream process. Nowadays, a lot of the responsibilities are split between two roles. You would have like a dedicated data scientist, or sometimes they'd like to be called applied scientist. And those folks are, you know, responsible creating a neural network and doing the data processing and feature engineering and, you know, cooking up some black box scary AI. And the engineering side is more like, you know, traditional conventional engineering. It's like building a system, and you can treat the ML as just querying an endpoint. And how do you handle that, the result, or how do you handle the traffic for the pipelines and scale all that?
Can you explain for some people who are really new to this, like endpoint, you're talking about endpoints and APIs,
right?
Yep. When you request something from a particular endpoint, you receive results. Like for example, endpoint Instagram user ID, and you get the ID numbers or names of those users, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And very similar to machine learning models as well. There's a service that Amazon provides where you can basically like host and create this endpoint, so services can do almost the same thing. Like your example with the user ID in Instagram, you just pass it this, you know, these fields and say, hey, machine learning model, can you give me the result of this based on how you were trained, and it will respond to you with data of said result. So nowadays the role is split a lot of the times, and my honest opinion For people who are, you know, self-taught and more of that, you know, not academic, but more hustler, just I can like put in the time and the computer type stuff. Like, I would focus your efforts on being the engineering side and not so much the science, data, machine learning, like creation side, because that
field, what do you mean by that?
Is extreme. So what I mean by that is you will always need,
like, LLM engineer?
No. Like, you will always need an engineer to actually make the machine learning model useful, because if you all you know is how to train and create the model, the next question that a business partner will ask is like, okay, what do you do with it? How do you get it into my service? I love the fact that it can tell me, you know, that people are happy or sad using my product. How do we actually get it into production? How do I get people to use it?
How do you build ChatGPT? We can create the data, but now how do we display that data in a way that people can use it for $19.99 a month?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And how do we scale it? How do we do all this stuff, right? Imagine the traffic ChatGPT gets. Like, imagine that traffic. That's not that traffic that it gets, the endpoint, like, you have to handle that, right? And that's where that engineering, you know, portion of responsibilities, I truly think you can, like, self-teach yourself that and hustle that.
Load balancing from database engineers, everything, all of that, huge.
Yep.
With how much traffic ChatGPT gets.
Yep. The pipeline, the data cleaning, there's so much to it. And there's so, like, we talk about the cool things and, like, all that, but behind the scenes, there's plenty of job opportunities and just overall opportunities for the person that's hungry to go get it. Like, it's a hungry person's game out there, you know?
Yeah. So software engineering hopefully won't be replaced too soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Knock on wood, you know, let's cross our fingers.
So then how old are you right now?
I'm 26.
Damn, 10 years younger than me. Okay. So you're 26.
Yeah.
You have no degree. You realize, okay, I need to stop working this desk job I hate.
Yep.
I don't want to go back to college. I want to become a machine learning engineer for Amazon, for Twitch in particular.
Yeah.
What would you do to start over right now?
Okay. So look, I actually really like that question, because it always makes me think of, like, all the stuff that I did right, all the things I did wrong. One thing I do like about that question is, like, you know, I like how you asked, like, Twitch and Amazon, because a lot of people, I think, set themselves up for potential failure when they don't know what company exactly they want to go for, because there is a clear distinction between those, like, big FANG tech companies. So, you know, for those big FANG tech companies, if I was pressed on time, the only thing I would do is leak code. And that's an answer that a lot of people don't like, but all I would do as a junior going into no experience is just leak code till my eyes and fingers don't work.
Can you go deep into that? Do you mean leak code data structures, right? Right, design, you name it, algorithms, reverse link tree. Yep. You mean that?
Yep.
And not in particular how to build an actual model?
Yep. I would 100% go fully into leak code to gain that junior position. In those big FANG tech companies, the expectation for juniors is very close to zero. Very close to, like, there's no expectations.
Ouch. Yeah.
There is no, and, like, I worked there. I've interviewed a bunch of juniors. I've gone through the nuance. I've done it all. You know, I've seen it, been on both sides of it, been a junior at a big tech company. I know how it works. And, you know, the reason why there's no expectations is to set yourself up for success while also protecting the business side expectations. But, yeah, I would just grind lead code. I would just grind lead code while, you know, on the side, reading and understanding things about machine learning.
Lead code first, machine learning second.
Yes, like, 100%.
Like, would you say everyone, I mean, hopefully, I mean, you should work full-time job, hopefully, if you could, fortunately, after your 9 to 5, if not during your 9 to 5, but after, from 6 to 9, lead code, then Saturday, Sunday, machine learning.
I would even put, like, maybe, like, I would do 6 to 10 lead code, and Saturday, like, when you wake up, let's say you wake up, brush your teeth, I would say 10 to 3 p.m. Lead code, and then Sunday, you're late reading, 2 to 4, 2 to 5, machine learning. It's like, if you can get into a FANG company as a junior for an ML team, they will teach you everything you need to know.
Wow.
Yeah, they'll build you from the ground up. And that is, like, truly how it works. Like, if you, the best case scenario is if you're already somehow in school for some, like, ML program or ML certificate, something like that, and you have the academic courses on your resume or you have the academic knowledge to talk about in a conversation. But when it comes to literally the technical challenges or technical, you know, requirements, only LeetCode.
What programming language though in LeetCode?
Python. Python.
Python?
Yeah.
Not PHP?
100%. 100%.
Not JavaScript?
Nah. Python? No, 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 no. If you want to be in ML, in the ML space, first of all, I think LeetCode is like the best language for LeetCode. That's just my opinion. I think it's just like super easy and yeah. It's like, you know, very, you know, easy to understand. But once you get in through your LeetCode skills and through your LeetCode grind, all of the ML stuff is basically written in Python, a lot of Go for like the microservices, the Lambdas, yeah. deployments, yeah. And all that stuff. However, I just want to double down on one thing. If you're not going for the big fan company, right? Let's say you don't want to go work for the Twitch or the Amazon or the Google, and you want to work for like, you know, maybe a startup or a different company, whatever, then my answer completely changes. Then it's grind machine learning and become a subject matter expert. Like become that badass in the field, like depth. Just know everything. Know everything model, every way to, you know, clean the data, everything. Become that master so when you join a company, you can just floor them with how much you know.
Can you dive a little bit deeper in that? Like, okay, building the model, be good at building a model. And when you say clean that data, what for the people who don't understand what that means, right? Like using like dbt to clean that data, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so for every time you can build the model, it takes like data in, right? So you have to train or build a model. It needs data. That's machine learning at the end of the day, or AI, it's all just the quality of data you have available, the quality and the volume. Those are two very important concepts. And so when it comes to the cleaning part, it's how you take data that, you know, from you, I don't know, from anything. Let's say you do, you get data from Reddit. Let's say you have somehow you are able to just get so much data from Reddit. Then the question is, okay, you have this much data. How do you make it consumable to your machine learning model to train it? And there's so many different parameters there. You know, you have to change the data's dimensions to be consumed by the model. You have to change, you know, what features you want your model to be trained on. Like, for example, let's say you're building a model that's attempting to prevent fraudulent transactions, right? And let's say you have all this data, and the most important fields would be something like, you know, IP addresses or country, stuff like that, right? But let's say you have a bunch of data that tells you what popsicle Chris likes, what flavor ice cream he likes.
You don't need that data.
You don't need it, exactly. So that's what it comes down to. It's called feature engineering. And you basically clean your data and really, you know, meticulously choose, process the data that's important for your objective, which is, you know, prevent fraud in this example, right? Yeah. And then after all that's clean, after you do that, that gets fed into your training pipeline. And at the end, you get a machine learning model.
All right. So what else, right? Other than transforming that data, right? When it's moved to that warehouse, that data lake, database, you name it. What else? Yep. If you're not going for the FANG route. How about this? The four or five main things, right? If you had to really point out, if you're trying to go for a startup versus, you know, FANG for a startup, what do you need to learn?
Yeah, for a startup world, I would definitely say the most important things are, one, you have to be practical. That's the most thing, you have to be practical. So you can, as much as like, the thing I always warn people who like get into ML is don't go too hard into academia. Like academia is very important and like you have to know it, but I think be practical. You know, how can you actually use it? Can you actually program something? Do you know how to, you know, use tools that query databases? So to be very, you know, let's actually give you that list. One, can you query databases? Can you pull data from databases? And what do we need for that? SQL. So do you know SQL and are you good with SQL, right? That's number one. Number two, can you build a pipeline that does a few processes with SQL? So let's say you grab a bunch of data and you have to do operation one, operation two, operation three. Can you do that? That would be the second piece of advice I would give someone. Three, can you benchmark your model? How do we know your model is good? And how do we know if I just, you know, put a bunch of if-else statements, it's better than that? As dumb as that sounds, you'd be surprised at how many people skip that third step or don't understand how important that step is. For business, they want to know, cool, you're a machine learning engineer. That sounds awesome. You've said a bunch of keywords and you've already impressed me with your knowledge. How do we know your model is better than me putting a bunch of stuff myself, a heuristic rule, right? So make sure you can sell your model and do it with the proper metrics. Four, deploy your model. This is one that I know a lot of people never do. It's actually deploy it into production. For example, Chris, let's say you and I are building a website, right? I built mine all on localhost. It's the exact same thing. We're both using JavaScript. Let's say we both use React. Mm-hmm. I make my, Chris, my website's so good. You're going to be so jealous. And you're like, oh yeah, let me see it. I'm like, okay, how do you want me to send you the files?
Docker.
You'd be like, Docker, yeah. But you'd be like, what? Why can't you just deploy it? And if I say I don't know how to deploy it, you'd be like, oof, man, that's a bit of an eyebrow raiser, right? So the deployment part is also just extremely important.
Make it accessible.
You know? Make it accessible and showcase that you know the end-to-end process.
Why is that so important though?
Because it showcases that not only do you know how to train a model locally, it shows you how you can actually use it in production. Use it in a system that's not your local computer. Because it's easy. If I have a model on my local computer, I could run a script that just says, you know, make an inference.
It works on my machine.
It works on my machine. Why would it not work? But then the question is, and it's so different than like a website. You have to understand how to deploy a model into a service that can be used by other systems, other services in your ecosystem.
Yeah. It's an interesting point compared to interviewing for FANG or startups, because I've interviewed at quite a few startups. The interview process is different. When I interviewed at Amazon, when I interviewed at Google, yeah. I don't know if it's changed, but it looks like it hasn't from what you're talking about. It's all lead code.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe for different positions. For the web development front-end engineer at Amazon, it was, how does the internet work, right? Oh, right, that's a little different, right? It depends on the interviewer, but it was mainly lead code. But at the startups I've interviewed at, I've done zero lead code interviews. Last 3 to 4 years I've been in DevRel. It's all been presentations. It's, all right, here's something. You may not be I'm not a software engineer anymore, so I can't code like I used to, right? And so it's more of, all right, I want to see if you can build this project and pretend you're presenting it, and that's all that matters, right? And even when I had people who came from Twilio to here, they said, wow, the interview process here at my company was different. There was no lead code questions. It was, right, really, can you build this? How would you approach that, right? For senior roles, it's very interesting. So then, does that mean FANG is easier to get a job at than startups? If from the way you stated it, lead code nonstop. And by the way, I've seen people do that. And when they got the job at FANG, they couldn't last longer than a year. They lost a job. They did other interviews. They passed it, got hired. All right. They got hired and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
They got let go again because they were good at lead code.
Yeah. I love, you're such a, like, you're a brilliant mind.
Oh, don't say that ever again. So my head's too big already, please.
It's so true. And so there's so many parts I want to answer that. The first one is FANG easier to get into startups? The answer is, I'm going to say no. The answer is no, but the path is more straightforward. I think that's the main difference. You know what you have to do, and that's just lead code. You know what you have to do, lead code, know how to talk to someone and know how to sell yourself, right? It's fairly simple, or it's fairly straightforward. The reason why it's so tough is there's so many people applying to these FANG companies. Everybody wants to work at Google. Everybody wants to work at Netflix. Everybody wants to work at, you know, Apple, Amazon. Everybody wants that. So they're getting tons of applications, but there's only so many jobs.
Yeah.
So how do you weed out the best from the best? Give them very challenging lead code questions. Okay. And how do you get good at very challenging lead code questions? Constantly doing lead code. The trade-off that you already mentioned, if all you're doing is lead code, well, what happens when you get hired where your job doesn't do lead code? Where you have to actually develop stuff.
Most jobs?
Yeah. Like every job that you have to do. Yeah. That's, you know, the question happens, what do you do? So I can even tell you, when I got hired at Twitch, I had to do a bunch of lead code to get in. My interview was all lead code. There was one system design question because it was for like a mid-level role. I had to do all that, but it was mostly lead code. The second I got hired, I haven't done lead code since. No lead code since.
Mm-hmm.
Not at the job, not for any other interview, just haven't done it since. And I'm not a big fan of lead code. I don't like it. I'm not good at it. You know, it just doesn't come natural to me. So I try to avoid as much lead code as I possibly can.
Yeah. Then how did you survive the job? Well, well, you got your master's. So I think this, the next question I think is very important is, how do you become good at LeetCode? Because I hate LeetCode.
Yeah,
I've only
too.
Done it once in my life. Well, twice. Google and Amazon. Get the job. Right? And the thing is, I also never studied LeetCode, to be honest. I tried it. I'm like, this is boring. I'd rather just build stuff. Right?
Yep.
So how do you get good at it then? Right? You do it all day. Are there any tips that you have while learning how to do these LeetCode, solve these LeetCode questions?
Yeah, I think I want to answer your question from the perspective of someone who I think you and I both relate to, and that's the person who didn't go to school for this and didn't learn it, right? You and I both cut from that cloth. And I just want to say, like, for that person, if you have the ambition to, you know, if you're a structural engineer and didn't like it and you want to get into the fan company, a lot of people have that same goal. You have to do LeetCode. The best advice I give you is, before you jump into LeetCode, understand the stuff that you need, which is like the data structures. That's like the part that I try to, you know, those videos where like it's like a kid and they have like this toy and they're trying to put in like a rectangular piece into a triangle hole. Mm-hmm. And they're just like trying to shove it in. And like, yeah, maybe it can go in, but it's not really, you need the triangle piece to put the triangle through. Like, that's what I would say was my biggest regret. Like, I just kind of jumped into LeetCode and like was just trying to like figure these out, and it wasn't the right approach. I should have taken a step back before I even started a LeetCode question to understand the different algorithms and how to associate that algorithm to a particular problem. Because secret, LeetCode questions, there's only like a handful of different kind of core LeetCode questions. They all just get reworded in different ways. That's kind of the trick of LeetCode. They're all just the same question of the day. Like a DP problem is a DP problem. A breadth first search problem is a breadth first search problem. Like, you, once you identify the algorithm that you need to solve it, you can do it day in and day out, but you need to have that knowledge first. So yeah, that, my biggest advice is take a step back and just learn those algos and learn to identify the problem that that algo solves. And the question of how do you get better, it's, you just gotta do it. You just gotta put in the hours. There's time in the saddle.
A lot of people, they give up learning code because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was fortunate and famously known for the person who got the job in 3 months. When I got hired, I barely knew jQuery. Honestly, didn't know jQuery. After 3 months, I barely knew HTML and CSS. Right. And
that's what I'm talking about.
And to be quite frank, if I didn't get a job in 3 months, I probably would have given up.
Really?
Because
no, I don't believe you. I don't believe
you, man. Everything failed for me. I went to college 4 times. Dropped out 4 times. Mm-hmm. Tried to be a nurse twice. Dropped out. Tried to become an electrician. Went to journeyman school. Applied. I studied like crazy for a month or two. Bombed it. Everything failed for me. Right? And then, working as the executive assistant at a company, learning code on a job, I thought, all right, I'm going to try this. I tried it for the first time. Learned code. Gave up after a month. And then, all right, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it again. 3 months later, I tried it again. Then I got a job. When I seriously did it for three months, then got a job. But if I didn't, I probably would have given up to go to something else. So that was like kind of like my saving grace. So that company gave me a chance, right, to get to where I am today because of that. And so for people like me, right, I want to be honest with people, because people are like, Chris was just so good. He got a job in 3 months. No, I was lucky as hell. Now, if I didn't prepare myself, though, if I didn't have a portfolio ready for that interview, that wouldn't have happened, which is all from Treehouse, which, by the way, don't use them anymore. Use Zero to Mastery. Link in the description below.
Awesome.
But
quick plug.
Then why do you – I mean, I shared why it's hard, right? A lot of people, I think, don't know exactly where to start. Or they, if they're trying to be a front-end developer, they learn Python or Java because Stanford or whatever gives free, MIT gives free classes online. That's what you should learn, right?
Yep.
Or maybe people just trying to learn too many languages at once, which I've met someone. And to this day, he can't find a full-time job. It's only contracting jobs here and there. So he still has that habit. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell him no more. He's old enough. So what do you think are the main reasons why so many people quit? Maybe even sometimes after 2 years, which makes sense, after 3 years, which could make sense. Why do you think?
Yep.
Man, I think, honestly, programming is one of those things, or learning to code is one of those things that if you don't want to do it, it will be the worst thing you ever do. And I have a good story about this. So, you know, through streaming, someone hit me up, like, hey, I have a daughter. She's like 18. She's like 20. And I want her to learn to code, but I can't teach her. Would you be willing, you know, an hour or two a week, I'll pay you to tutor her and to teach her to code? And I was like, absolutely. Like, I recognize you. You're an awesome dude. Like, I definitely have the time, and I'll take this opportunity for sure. And the first sessions were great. And she's a very smart person. Mm-hmm. You know, she was very smart. But after a while, I noticed that, you know, let's say we work on Sunday. I'm like, okay, like, this is where we're going to leave off. Let's see what we can do for the next session. And the next session would come around, and like, there'd be no work done. I'm like, huh, like, what's up? Like, what's wrong? She's like, oh, nothing. I was just busy. I'm like, okay. But then it happened again and again. And then eventually, it was very clear to me that she was only doing it because her dad wanted her to become a programmer. She had no ambition of doing it, right? And I think all of us fall guilty of
that. My future self feels hurt right now. Dang, because that's going to be me. Forget college.
Yeah. And so I think the point is that, like, a lot of people are influenced by these external reasons, right? And they don't really know what they're getting themselves into, because programming is not easy. You know this. I know this. Everyone knows. It's not easy. You get a bug, something doesn't work, or you think it should work one way and it doesn't, and you don't know what to do, and you're just thinking to yourself, oh my God, I don't even know how to solve this issue. And if you genuinely don't like the problem-solving aspect, or the programming and like finding the end result after you solve it, I don't think this is I think that's why people quit, because they see, like, they hear their friend who got this job and they're paying this so much money because they're a software engineer at some company, and they're like, whoa, hold up, I want that. So they try to go into it, and they're like, oh, this is really, really hard. They put all their effort into it, you know, they grind it out. But if you try to force it, it won't happen. So you need to really enjoy the problem-solving aspect of programming. Everybody wants to make the Instagram phone app. Everybody wants to make Instagram mobile app. Trust me. Everybody wants to make Twitter.
Who sell it for $67 million. Who does not want to be a multi-billionaire?
Exactly, right? Doesn't that sound nice? Picking what color Lambo you want to drive to the store or take your kids to school sounds beautiful. But, you know, to get to that part, it's a long journey of just debugging stuff that makes no sense.
I want to play devil's advocate. Well, not really devil's advocate, because you're right, true. I agree. And I also want to disagree. So I think a lot of times when people are learning how to code, they give up because they can't fully understand what they're learning, and they don't see the bigger picture yet, meaning they haven't learned enough. So they just need to learn maybe a little bit more to understand that one thing that's just confusing them. For example, for me, it was arrays, right? And I didn't realize it was because I had dyslexia. I still have it, dyslexia. And so just seeing all these lines, these commas, these numbers in that array, right? And then trying to map around that array, it was terrifying for me because I didn't realize that part of me. I think that people need to understand that it's actually also, I think people should understand that it's also easier than they realize. It's hard, but it's also easier than people realize, where people think it's impossible for them to learn. Right, because that was me. It is hard, but gosh, I'm not scared to learn a new language. I'm not scared to dive into a new thing, like going to LLM engineering or something. I don't know. Is that a real thing? AI engineer? It is now, right? Dive into that, right? And so I think that, and it's true, right, that if you don't love it, it's much harder, right? I like to code, but it's not my life. I mean, maybe because I've been in it for 7 years now. It's like, all right, what do I need to do now?
Right.
I think that people should understand that, yes, it is hard, but it's also easier than you understand if you're willing to put in the effort. It's not easy at first. Like, when I built my first website, the first month was so freaking boring. HTML, this is not a programming language. CSS, what the heck is this? Display block, what the hell is that? JavaScript. But then when I built my first website, and it all came together, I'm like, that is why I learned all that. That makes sense. That's the perspective I'm coming from, where, yes, it's hard, but if you really push through and push through to learn as much as possible, right, and build something, one thing at least, then decide if it's for you or not for you.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I like that perspective, but I do want to say it's a very hopeful one. You know, and I tell this all the time, like, you know, like anyone could do programming. Don't get it twisted. Anyone could, if I could do programming, trust me, you can do programming. Okay, if you're listening to this, if you, you can do it, trust me. Just put, you have to put in the hours in. However, like, it's not one of those things that you should go into it with unrealistic expectations. Yes, I agree that you should build something, and like once you see the results of that website, that's when you get that like that programmer's high or whatever of all those hours you put into a Stack Overflow Google
for that one right? night of high.
But yeah, exactly. But you know, like I always like to like humble myself and learn there's levels to this game. Programming is like there's levels to this. Like I've seen where I thought I was like at the peak of my programming abilities and I would just meet this like heavyweight, just bruiser of a genius who next to him, I couldn't even write a print statement. Right. And then there's a person on that level,
at that level. It's okay. You don't, yo, it's okay. Calm down. We're meeting virtually. This is not even in person. Yo, calm down.
Yeah, I'll send you my resume after for the job, you know? Yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, and you can, like, even when you go on, like, stream or, like, Twitter or whatever, you get to meet different people at different skill sets, but there's always that, like, bigger shark who's just a savage when it comes to programming. And that's how I look at it, because I love sports. I come from a bunch of sports. I know you like basketball. You know, tough luck for GS.
Do you want me to end this podcast right now?
Yeah, tough luck for GS. Dude, I'm a Toronto Raptors fan, so come on.
Oh!
Okay.
That was it. Yeah, and we won after that, so don't worry. We're good.
I know. I was never more happy, more sad in the Toronto versus GS game where Clay bummed his knee.
You are happy. Like, of course. That makes...
I mean, bro, we had to get the chip, man. You don't understand. It was our first chip. We had to. And then Durant, too. That was when he tore his Achilles.
You know, like, you weren't... Your team was not meant to win against... With KD. And then the basketball gods just loved Canada for some reason and hated the U.S.
Dude, that series... And even Kawhi in that Game 7 winner against the Sixers when he made that buzzer beater when they did the reverse sweep.
That was
insane.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I love sports. And so, as you know, there's levels to sports. You have, you know, your great players like the Klay Thompsons or, you know, even, you know, on a rank below that, the Kevin Looney's or whoever, right? But then you have the Stephs. Then you have an echelon of people who are in a whole group of themselves. And that's how I like to think about programming, right? You never know who's on that upper echelon.
Yeah, I mean, you can never stop getting better, right?
No, you can't. You can't. But just some people come out of there and they're just like the GOATs, the MJs, the LeBrons, the Stephs.
Something that I don't know if I want to share this. I guess it will. It's my podcast, right? But
do it.
Like, and people get on me. You talk about money every podcast, right? I do. Or every video, to be honest. Because it's just being homeless and being poor for so long. It's, for me, it's just, I still can't believe it. But I feel like now I am at the peak of where I can go with my current skill level, technically. And I'm not a good developer. Yep. I never said I was. And it's because I focus more on YouTube than tech, right?
Your YouTube is so fire, by the way. I want to get a chance. Appreciate Your YouTube it. Is so fire. Like, small content creators like me, we look at people like you who've did it, set up the, you know, the payway for us to run to check it out. So yeah, I want to definitely say that.
Appreciate that, man. It's not easy. It was a lot of work. And what I mean by a lot of work, I sacrificed a lot of technical skills to be able to edit like that, to be able to speak like that for someone who has dyslexia, a speech impediment, and was in special ed, right? Took a lot of work. Right. And what I sacrificed throughout the last 7 years is I'm here, technically speaking, right? Let's just say I'm here. I could have been here making a lot more money, right? But I'm very happy. I have a voice. And to be honest, I would not replace that for anything.
You got the platform. You got everything.
I have a platform
that you built from the ground up.
And if I lose my job, I go, all right, I'll go into this full time, whatever. I got savings, right? So that's great. But I sacrificed a lot. of technical skill, meaning my career. And now I do make more than average, right? Very fortunate. Like, it's insane how in DevRel you can make more than a software engineer. Mm-hmm. I don't know about ML engineer. totally different place.
Yeah.
Right? And so what I'm noticing, and again, I do interviews just to see my value out there. And yeah, companies are still willing to pay me a lot more money than I make now. But I learned, and I'm realizing, if I want to get to that next echelon level, I need to really focus on technical skills. So I've actually decreased how much videos I upload. And I made a goal now an hour during work. If you're listening to Airbyte, sorry. But I'm learning code, right? Really just focus on code, if not 2 hours, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then no matter what, a minimum of 1 hour every day after work, except Sunday. Every day, I learn code. Because now I'm seeing that, okay, I'm this good, but I'm this average. I want to get really good, and I need to really put in that effort.
Yeah.
Right? It's not easy, right? And I want to get to that level, but I see how many people are better than me.
Yeah.
Right? And I know it's because of YouTube, which sucks, but at the same time, yo, I'm happy too. Right, no regrets. No regrets.
No, yeah. Zero. And you wouldn't change it, and you shouldn't. I honestly think this is the path, because... so I'm obviously like a small YouTuber. I'm building, I'm honing my craft. I'm learning it. I'm putting in the hours to grind it out.
It's not easy, huh?
It's not easy, dude. It's
discouraging as hell. Like literally every single video,
bro, you put out a video that you put like so many hours in, it's a 10 out of 10 flop,
bro.
You're just like, all right. Like, I guess what can you do? You can't do anything. It's literally out of your control. And it's not like you didn't put a lot of effort into it, you know. There's, because I think I do the same thing you do. I record, I edit myself, I script it, all that, package it for thumbnail, title. Mm-hmm. That's all this one man operation right now,
yeah.
And that takes time. You know more than anyone. That takes time, and you sacrifice that time from other stuff, right? Like you're just talking about this, and when you finally click upload and you click, you know, the unlist button, and you just see it tank. Bro, you're just sitting there, you're just like this, just the whole time, you're like.
Do you know how many times I've wanted to quit YouTube? How many times coding phase at night I've spoken, dude, I think I'm done. Right, talking to Joshua Fluke, I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. Homie Engineer Truth, I think I'm like telling all these people.
Yeah.
I think I wanna quit YouTube. It's so discouraging.
Bro.
Right, and I kept going. And last year was the first time I made more than I made in tech. And it was like, what?
Let's go.
Right? Because I didn't stop. So it is a grind. And now my videos aren't performing as well as they were last year because I took a 4-month break.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't regret. But now, I mean, back into it. But I'm not worried about that. I know my videos can do it again.
Yeah.
If I really put an effort.
You got to put the grind in.
But it's the exact same thing for tech.
Yeah.
Right? So many people are learning code. Oh, no one's interviewing me. 1 month, 2 month, 3 month. Ugh, yeah, but it's part of the process.
It's so hard, dude. It's so hard, bro. It's crazy. Like I know exactly how that is. Do you know the dude Kevin Non Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, incredible creator, incredible human. And I was at a point where I was like, I'm quitting YouTube. Like I'm done. I just started. I put out like maybe 23 videos at that point. Highest video was like 300 views, and I was putting like everything into it. Now looking back, yeah, those videos were 300 view videos. They were not good. As always the case, if you're listening, your first 20 videos are bad. Trust me, when you do your 40th and you look back, you'll be like, okay, I see it. But I talked to him and I'm like, yeah, I'm quitting. I'm done. Like, I'm just so discouraged. He's like, dude, YouTube is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
You got to keep doing. You got to keep grinding. You got to keep improving. Just do it. And he's like, make 100 videos. And I'm like, all right. Yeah. And then... I don't know what happened. I just took it more seriously, tried to improve one thing, and I've started to see some progress. And you know, people, the best feeling is people hit me up. They're like, yo, I watched your video. It was really good. Or they say like, yo, I see your quality improved.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, yes, like, let's go. You know, that's improvement. That's those small wins stack up to be monumental.
Your video on You Will Never Quit Programming after this.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, this is clickbait. Oh, and I listened to it. And I'm like, dang, this is pretty good. That video did well.
Thank you.
One thing I'm noticing is adding timestamps is very important. Because for me now, if there are no timestamps on the YouTube video, I actually skip it.
The chapters, you mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I actually skip it now. It's right because it's so convenient. You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
You're right.
You want to skip it, right? You don't know which part is the next part if you're done listening to that section of the video.
Yeah.
And so, like, I need to hire someone to do that for me at this podcast because I can't listen to every podcast after spending 6 hours editing.
Yeah.
Right? I need to color grade this. That's why I look like this right now. Right. And then, you know, so it takes so much time. But again, it's the same thing like tech. Yeah. So you work for Amazon, Twitch in particular.
Yep.
You know, True, who worked at Discord.
Yep.
She quit.
Yep.
Right. People who worked at senior DevRel, and I say this in every episode, but like people are quitting tech. Senior DevRel, who's that at Netlify? He quit, right? Mm-hmm. B Dougie quit GitHub as director of DevRel, and he told me how much he was making and how much they were willing to pay him to stay.
Yep, to stay.
That's like, how shall I say this? You can have a Ferrari if you want and still have a few money, right?
All
right,
let's see. GitHub.com open.
They're not hiring right now. Sorry. Right, and it's so interesting, and, you know, and people are making all this money, and I've felt this sometimes.
Yeah.
And they want to quit, right? Yep. Maybe they're tired, and people get burned out. Have you ever felt that? Because yeah, 100%. Engineering is hard. How come? Why?
It's just there's so many. Like I feel that a lot of the time with programming. With programming, I've never felt to the point that I want to stop programming. I've never had that. Mm-hmm. I have such a love for programming, and luckily for me, I could go into the ML space if I'm tired of the JavaScript space, or vice versa. Like I can flip back and forth. Those very
two
easily.
Totally different spaces, dude.
I know. I've launched a lot of apps using just pure JavaScript. I'll send you links after them to them afterwards. You can tell me what you think about them. But I've never been to the point where like I don't want to program. Like I can't see my life without programming. Like it's just such a core part of what I want to do. And like even if I'm not building something, I'm tinkering with something at the very minimum. But when it comes to work, I have felt that crunch. You know, I felt that like my manager's on me, the director's on him, and stuff just not working. Like you keep trying stuff and it just flop. Yeah, the pressure. And
so I'm not the only one that feels that. You feel that. That's normal.
Oh, dude, I think a lot of people feel that. And it's crazy.
What is that pressure you feel, though, right? Like, can you explain that in more detail?
The pressure I feel personally, and I think everyone feels pressure differently, right? Mm-hmm. I think my pressure is I want to be the best, and I want to deliver the absolute best. And it's very obvious when you don't hit that. It's extremely obvious when you didn't deliver to the highest quality or you didn't deliver the best results out of the bunch. And that eats me. And that is the pressure that I need to like balance out. And like my manager always tells me like, hey, you're not like failing expectations, but here's growth opportunities. But for me, it's just like, I see black and white. I see either I win the parade or I get swept in the first round. Even if I made it to the second and third, we had a game of seven. Mm-hmm. I don't see it like that. I see it either I got swept in the first or I won the parade. And that's why. And that's how I feel pressure to deliver.
Pressure that pressure you're talking about, is it like, for just to add on top of that, is, man, I might lose my job because I failed at this. Is it that? Is it that, oh, maybe I can't support my you know, I don't know if you have kids or anything, like people that depend on me, or can you try? I just want to dive deeper into that because a lot of people feel that. Like, what is that? Can you dive more into that? Is it just because you're not good enough? Is it because, oh, maybe I'm not cut out for this industry? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I've never cut out for this industry. I've always felt like I can do it, you know?
Bill Gates.
But, yeah, I want to be the best.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, I've never, like, even if I get fired, I'm not even, like, I've never been scared of getting fired. Even when there was layoffs on Amazon, I was like, okay, if I get fired, I'm fine. I can get a job. I've always been confident I can get a job if I need to, like, yeah. You know? And I never felt like, you know, I know the role I have in my team and I know it's valued. So I've never felt like that. But like I said, like the pressure I put on myself is like, if I'm not the best, I feel like I feel like I got fired.
It's just a competitive edge in you then.
Yes. Wow. That's what it is. It's a competitive edge in me. Like if I know people who are better than me and it like eats me and like, I have to find a way to get better than them.
How do you get better?
Until I do, it's a failure. And this happens to everywhere. It happens in programming. It happens in content creation. It happens in jiu-jitsu. Like, everything I do, if I'm not the best, now I know how to manage it better because I'm older and I've always been like this. And I know realistically, like, they've put in the time and they've grinded and have been here longer. And, like, you know, they know stuff that I need to learn. So I'm never bitter about it. I'm never, like, salty or, like, cursing the person who's better than me and, like, wishing them bad or anything, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm not jealous, but I'm envious, you know? And I want to be as good and even better than them. And until I do, like, job's not done, you know?
Yeah. Gosh, that's a perfect interview answer. Like, at a job interview. So what's your greatest weakness? Gosh, I hate this pressure I put on myself. No, but that's actually legit. You're not just saying it, for sure. No, that's great. That confidence. And that's because of all that, like, endless hours you put into to get being better at programming.
Oh, man, if I can share one thing. When I was getting, for anyone who's listening and they're like, okay, you know, I'm ready to go into this journey. Like, you can hear whatever, where I'm at. And like, I definitely think I've won, you know, going to Twitch. It's amazing. Like you said, like, great salary. Everything's Gucci. I just want to say, like, the stuff that no one saw behind the scenes is I had to stop streaming and I was putting in 10-hour days every single day for, like, you know, 2 months straight. Like, and this is straight. This isn't
this
like
is preparing for the, like, Amazon interview. Like, yeah, before you overall, even applied.
Like, yes, it was all of it. It was like, I wanted to change my career and, like, get into Amazon. This is what I have to prepare. So it was leak code. It was interviewing. It was applying, all that. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, I didn't take, like, I didn't take, like, a few days here and there. But what I did was, like, I wake up at 9 a.m. and it was so bad. I didn't stream. I didn't work out. All I did was I have a Monster energy drink. And you know those Juul nicotine pods? Mm-hmm. I would just have that. And I would grind in my parents' basement. I do not recommend this style, but it was the only way I could truly focus and put 10-hour days for 60 days straight. It was the I never felt worse health-wise ever.
Yeah.
I was, like, pale. I was, like, I didn't work out. I looked terrible. But that was the grind I put myself through.
And that's what that's so impressive, though, because that was your goal. For me, it was just job to job, and that was it. I didn't really, like, hopefully that happens. But now it's different for me because now that's what I'm doing. I'm just learning code. I'm trying to get better. Sorry, but goodbye JavaScript for me, to be honest. It's more of back end now, right? And I suck at it. I want to get good
at
it.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the good side. You know what?
Welcome to the dark side, right?
Yeah, dude.
You mentioned something interesting. You want to change your career. You were an AI engineer, right? It looks like for a startup.
Yeah, right? They got acquired.
That must have been good for you then, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. But once I knew that we got acquired, I knew that was also, like, I had to leave.
So you probably won't share. Was it pretty good money for you? You got good shares?
Yes. Yes. It was good. It manifested to be very, very good for me.
Can you explain why it was good for you? I mean, of course, it's good money, but, like, what do you mean by that? Like, kind of like life-changing money, or, like, help you pay for your house?
No. It was not life-changing money. It wasn't anything drastic like that, but it was enough for me to basically, like, hop to the other side of the country and go from, like, I went from Toronto to Vancouver. And, it was good. Like, I was able to definitely take a step away from, like, my friends from that, but it wasn't anything life-changing. Like, you know, like, the money is not, like, I'm pretty sure I haven't used that money. It's all, like, just whatever, stored somewhere in, like, a bank or investment. But like, it didn't really, like, I never really focused on that. Like, to be as cheesy as it sounds, like, for me it was more like, okay, if it was that much money, I probably wouldn't have wanted to go to Twitch, you know what I mean? But, like, even after the acquisition, that's when I wanted to go to Twitch even more.
So
it
gave you time to just really study and really aim.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, it's just really study, grind it out. But I'm also one of those people that, like, I can't just not do anything. So that's why I want to do it as fast as possible. I could have coasted. Yeah. I could have coasted. I could have gone on a vacation, but I didn't.
How many years could you have coasted? I'm really trying to dig this out.
No, I couldn't even coasted for a year. I actually couldn't have coasted that long. I probably could have coasted, like, for maybe, like, eight to 10 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't big shares. It was a very small company. The acquisition was very top heavy, so, like, the people on top got a lot of the sale. Pre-seed. I would have had enough for, like, 8 to 10 months.
Okay, for sure. Then, I'm at a startup. Well, hopefully that happens because, we just announced a collaboration with, like, Datadog and all these other companies. So we'll see. We'll see.
Congrats.
So, and the reason I brought that up, that company originally, is because you said you wanted to elevate your career. What do you mean by that? Because you're an AI engineer, you're working in data science. What do you mean by that? Yep. I mean, you wanted a much bigger pay bump, salary wise?
No. I did. Prestige? I obviously did. I obviously wanted a bigger salary, right? I got, like, a much bigger salary when I went to to Twitch. The thing is, I knew Amazon had the best engineers. I know FANG companies, a lot of the people have very high skillful mm-hmm. engineers who are able to deploy and create the mm-hmm. software. Like Amazon handled like billions of data. You know what I mean? And it does so much. How does it do half the stuff it does? I don't know. And I worked there. It has an Amazon. It has a web app. There's the tracking services. There's all this stuff that Amazon does. And like other companies too, right? And so for me, I just want to work closer to those engineers. Mm. I just want to be a part of that cohort that we're building some absolute monstrous technologies. Yeah. And that's what I did. Like I was like on a mission to be trained by some serious savages by that higher echelon, again, that next level of engineers. And that's I got what you it. Feel. My current manager used to be the tech lead, and now I'm the tech lead. And
you're the tech lead at Amazon right now?
Yeah, Twitch. Wait. Twitch. I'm a tech lead at Twitch. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, he still grinds me out, man. He's still like, dude, like this is not the quality we need. Like, you know? And because he's just that level.
Which
he's
is a good manager though. Now that and will push you to a whole entirely different level as an engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been crazy. Like I've had to readjust my entire game. Like I had to readjust it completely. Like I don't think code first anymore. I think engineering first. I think how can we set this up? What are the roadblocks? Mm. Do we have proper logging? What are the fallbacks? All that. Like for me, any task I get, I can code. There's like for me, coding is no longer like the issue. It's like, how is it designed so that whoever codes this can't break it? And that's the new way that I'm thinking about when I approach engineering and programming.
Are you cool? Do you still have time? Do you have a hard stop right now? Dude, this is fun. Holy crap. This is so fun. You've been to Amazon 2 years, right?
Approaching 2 years. Almost 2 years.
September. Almost so 2 years. Next month.
Yep.
And so, and I'm friends with Tech Rally, and he's there, and he elevated.
I'm friends with Tech Rally too.
And so, you do interviews. Yep. Obviously, you do interviews there for almost 2 years now, in particular for ML, right? What are mistakes that you see people have? Like, what's the, like, let's say you interview 10 people in a year. Let's just say that.
Yes.
What are common things that knowledge that they lack in that they should have known? Right, what are things that they, if they only knew this, and of course, you know, you can't really nitpick exactly, but if they only knew this, they could have been a much better developer. If they focused on this, right, or was it just lead code in those interviews? Because it's not just lead code; there are additional interviews where you want to learn how they think too, right?
Yeah. So the lead code is only for the junior roles, right? Like once you go past junior, the lead code will only get you so far. And I think one thing I noticed right away. Is like people, like for me, our team is pretty like, you know, we try to strive for a decent, like a good delivery. And for me, what I like to kind of sniff out, if you will, is like, you know, do you actually like programming? Like, what brings you here today? You know, and it's totally fine if it's for the money. Like I don't like, dude, get your bag. You know, I'm like the main advocate. Get your bag. Dude, set your family up. Buy yourself the new, like, do it, you know? Programming is like the best way to go about it. It's like a hack in life.
Literally.
For real, you know? But I know people, like, when I can talk to a person and, like, they answer my question and then they're like, okay, but how would you do it? Or, like, you know, if I ask them a cloud infrastructure question, like, okay, how would you spin up these, like, AWS serverless functions? And they, you know, give me an answer, but they're like, okay, but how would you do it? Like, what's the strategy? What would you think about it? What do you think of my answer? Like right away, I'm already gauged that they want to know how to actually solve this problem better. And like, that to me is more important than anyone's like technically like—
than actually solving the problem.
Yeah. To me, like if you're like, that's why I said in the beginning of this podcast, it's a hungry person's game. Mm. If you're hungry enough, like everyone will teach you what you need to know and then you just excel. So that's what I mean. Like you can come up and you can be the most like skillful person, this maestro with the keyboard. But if like you're kind of like an asshole, I don't want to work with you, you know? And I have the luxury to say, nah, I don't want to work with you. But if I have like a hungry person who I know is like wants that opportunity, it will make sure once they get it, they're not going to blow it. And yeah, maybe a little rough around the edge when they start and like their code may not be the best, but the investment is like exponential. You put a bit of your time in and then they run off with it. And so that's what I look for. I look for the person that's hungry who's like trying to gain as much they can in the opportunities that they have.
I think that's something that has, honestly, that hunger, right, has died for me quite a bit the last couple of years because every job was just given to me.
You got too good, bro. Dude. You got too good at what you do.
Bro, I'm just, well, so I'm in DevRel, so it's content, right, and speaking, public speaking. So
still got to be good at it.
True. Yeah. I guess I'm just, I am hard on myself, but like the job at New Relic, right, it more than doubled my income.
Hell yeah.
And I knew nothing about observability, about monitoring. What, when I got the job, what the heck, when I got hired at the job, I'm like, what is monitoring? Hold on. What is that? I left that job, joined another company. There was no technical interview. I left that company after 2 months, right?
Terrible culture. Sure.
Rapid API. And he laid off everyone. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there was two other job offers were given to me. And it was just because I was good at speaking, creating content and videos. Every job is, right? And when I say given to me, of course, I have to perform well in the interview
process. For sure. I was going to say, like, it's not just, bro, you built that skill. Like, you just said you had, like, you know, dyslexia, you had the speech impediment. Like that's not, like, stuff that you just, like, wake up one day, like, oh, you know what? That's not going to bother me right now. Yeah. Like, bro, you grinded, you worked for it. And now you're in that year where you can just, make those threes with your eyes closed.
I wish. Well, well, these other interviews I've done just for fun, it's crazy. It's been the same thing. But I don't want to work for those companies because I want to really be challenged technically before I join them. I want them to test my technical knowledge so I can know what I need to learn. That makes sense. Absolutely. And no one's done that to me the last 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah. Dude, did you get comfortable?
I got comfortable.
That's the worst. That's the worst word.
Let me defend myself though, because YouTube was making like $40,000 a month. Awesome. Right.
There you go.
So it's like, it was kind of, you know, should I do this tech thing, YouTube, right? And so it still pays good. So that too, but I got comfortable. Yep. And so that's why I brought up earlier in this episode how I'm really challenging myself now an hour a day. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I was good at SQL and I forgot it.
Yep.
Actually, I forgot all my JavaScript. Well, I don't really care about JavaScript no more.
Yeah, right? You're back in now.
So I don't care about that. And so now I'm just learning these things and maybe Elite Code will be part of it. I don't want to join Fang. Talking about this stuff. But yeah, so the hunger was gone. Now it's back because I've been bombing these interviews where I wanted to see my value and I saw it's going down. And I'm like, that's weird. Yep. That didn't happen before.
Too comfortable.
Yeah, and exactly, right? So I'm trying to change that. One thing I want to bring up, though. Fang, you get paid well.
Yep.
Before Fang, where do you live? Canada?
Right. I used to live in Canada. I used to live in Toronto. Then I moved to Vancouver. Now I'm in the States. I'm in Seattle.
Okay, so fuck Toronto. But so, okay. You don't need to share your salary now, right? But I'm just curious. Like, what were you making before Fang? If you're willing to share.
Before I joined Twitch, I was making like 105,000 base.
That's in Canada. Is that normal in Canada?
No.
That's low. Well, in Toronto, it's expensive. Wow. Yep. So compared to what you're making now, is it drastically different? It's in ML, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like worlds apart. It's like worlds apart. You can't even compare it. Like it's...
Yeah.
A, I'm making USD. So, and this Fang salary, it's like you get a bonus, you get your base salary, and you get stocks.
Bonus and stocks.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
My stock vests are like as big as my previous salary in USD.
Yeah.
So, it's game changing, man.
What did you say? Hold on.
My stock vests are like as big as my salary if it was in USD, the one I just told you.
Yo, I need to get into ML.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and the reason I brought that up is if your company was never acquired. So you've been at Twitch for 2 years. You were at that other company that got acquired for 1 year, if not less.
Yeah, just about.
So then would you have stayed at that company for longer than a year and not joined Fang? Let's just say it's been 3 years since you joined that last company. Up to now.
Oh no, I would have bounced. I would have been too comfortable.
Your goal would have been to go to Fang anyway.
Yeah, my goal would have been to like increase my bag.
Yeah.
that's would have been the goal. And you know, you get some companies cap you out. Like at Fang, you know, I went through promotions, right?
Yeah.
If I'd stayed at Fang for 3 years at the same role I was at before, I would have been comfortable. And that's when it, like, I never get comfortable anything. Like, I'm just a guy that, like, I'm always doing stuff. That's why I jump into YouTube doing such, when you get a chance, well, I'll talk later. My first YouTube videos, man, they were embarrassing how I put those out. Like, embarrassing. But I just jump into this stuff. I just, like, go that's in. How you I'm learn. Like, all right. Yeah. I'm just like, all right, let's do this. Like,
yeah.
I'm not scared. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of want to jump into like, different levels of whatever offers me in the world. Yeah. And, you know, the way I see it is, like, if you, for me right now, even if I were to go to jump at a company that, like, pays me, like, I don't know, like, 500,000 base, right? And this company's like that, Netflix. But then what? You know, then at what point do I go to a company that, like, I just can't have a higher base? And so for me, like, I want to start thinking about how I can start building something to make a different level of money, which is, like, I'm talking the M's. I'm not talking the salaries.
And right? Amazon, like, if you're there long enough, go to promotions.
Yeah, but that's still, like, maybe you can get, let's say a principal Amazon's maybe making, 600? Let's say, like, two.
Sure. Oh, you're talking about base.
Let's say everything all includes, like, $1 million a year. The principal, who's been there for a minute.
Principal engineer?
Yeah. Principal staff, they're making like $1 million. We can look at levels of FYI. Probably making like an M a year, right? Before taxes. The thing is, like, you know, I want to look beyond that.
Yeah.
I'm not really, I'm not really, you know, how can I say this? Like, I want to look beyond that. I want to look for the next step, that next significant leap to go into like a conversation where it's not just one M. It's like, what did I do? What did I build that has been evaluated
that can that bring
much?
You to,
Yeah.
If you just focused on that money, no, but you're really even looking further than that. Not just a step ahead, but
I know,
leaps ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I want, and I know to get that, like, you have to work on your programming. You have to work on, like, what the market wants, the marketing aspect of it. Like, all those elements for me to, like, get to that goal, it's like, I know this journey isn't, like, a 60-day bender.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, I do Sleeker for 60 days. Yeah. This is, like, I need to really, like, hone my craft and learn how to handle scales at ridiculous traffic. Yeah. And that's why I want to work at Amazon and Twitch specifically, if I'm being honest.
So why not OpenAI?
I mean, OpenAI is valid. Yeah. Like that's a great company. Like, I would definitely go to OpenAI, right? But it would be the same thing. It would be just like, what? They'll give me a salary. Yeah. Maybe it's a bit higher than my current salary. But at the end of the day, like, did it get me closer to that crazy
to that,
goal
like,
that I have?
To that next step.
To that next step,
I need to like hang out with you more often, dude. Because like when I talk to you, I feel like so on fire to like to go to that next step. Because I have been comfortable. I mean, dude, when money's just given to you, it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah,
dude.
Bro. And last year when you were killing it, you were getting the bag. Your YouTube was accelerating, getting the bag from that. How can you not, bro? How can you not?
How many times I'm on this YouTube Discord? I'm not sure if you're in there. But this Discord of all the YouTubers, and how many times I said in that year I'm going to quit my tech job. I'm going to quit my tech job,
bro.
And I didn't. Right? so, yo, this has been one of the best conversations I've had in a while. No, everyone else I spoke with has been amazing, but, like, your fire and that competitive edge. Because, yo, I live in Vegas. All my friends are in California.
Right? Okay.
And none of them are in tech, right? And so, none of them are really striving for that. It's always been me motivating myself, literally the last seven years. No one's motivating me but me, right? So this has been so encouraging. Yo, I'm gonna listen to this episode like multiple times.
Dude, if you're in Vegas, I'll see you in October. TwitchCon is in October and it's hosted in Vegas. So a bunch of people
TwitchCon's
coming
in
down.
Vegas. Wait, hold
yes,
on.
Yes, sir. October 20th to 22nd. Write
Please
that
don't
one
tell
down.
Me
don't
I'm
make
not,
any plans, dude, bro. If you make plans. I am not going to forgive
Wait,
you.
Wait, when is this? In October?
October 20th to 22.
Please don't tell me.
Cancel whatever you have. What?
20 to 22?
Yeah.
I'm free.
Bro. Book it and don't go anywhere. Because a bunch of streamers, a bunch
Justin
of creators
here,
going
everyone.
To TwitchCon. Mewtru, all of them, we're all going
to
be
I need
there.
To do this. Yo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm excited about that is how many like in-person podcast interviews you could potentially do from that?
Dude,
tax write-off, rent a nice suite in the hotel. And
Dude, I saw someone last year, TwitchCon, they killed the game. They had like a portable set. They brought like easy foldable chairs and just a quick setup. It was a crazy thing in the briefcase. pocket mic. They had conversation just sitting. And dude, the aesthetics were crazy. The cameras pointed. You just see a bunch of people lining up at TwitchCon. That's just like, I think you could cook something
up. That'd be sick. That'd be sick. Any last messages you want to share with anyone that's made it to the end of this episode, right? Anything.
If you made it to the end, you're a real one. I want to say big shout out to you, Chris. You're awesome. Thank you. That's one of the best conversations I've had as well. And I want to tell everyone who's listening, like, you know, there's highs, like if you're in a low right now and you know, just stuff's not cooking up or not working, I just want to say, like, have the mentality of taking over. Just take over. You know, if you want a goal, take over. Like be that person that like gets what they want, you know? Don't be an asshole. Don't be a dick. Help people when they want, but like, you know, have the mentality that you're looking out for yourself and take over. And I truly think with that attitude, you will see drastic improvements. And yeah, just keep grinding. Nothing's easy. No free lunch.
No free lunch. And for anyone who wants to like find you where you're at, I'll put the links in the description below.
And, you could find me twitch.tv/Melky. We stream there. YouTube, it's at Melky Dev. That's where I cook up some great content. And Twitter, Melky Dev. So I keep it all pretty simple. And find me, say hello, and let's chat. Wow,
this has been amazing, dude.